Good morning, church. Glad you're here today and sharing with us. And we know that there are several away getting some last summer vacation time in. And so we're glad for everyone here and looking for them to be back with us. We're going to be finishing up our series today. And Josh and I was talking the other day at lunch. And he says, yeah, I'm finishing up on my series for the communion meditations on the miracles that he'd been doing. And he said, which one are you doing? And I said, I'm doing Malchus, and which was, as we'll look at, the last miracle he did before he was crucified. And then, as Josh shared during the communion meditation, which I agree, the most incredible and grateful and amazing miracle is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we were able to share in that. And so, so looks like for his series, mine will all be coming to an end here today. We are doing the servant's severed ear. And we're going to be talking about Malchus and Peter here. But we're reminded out of our passage in Psalms 77:14 that says, "You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples." So we've got a blended text here this morning. It's quite lengthy, so if you follow along, this is taken from Matthew 26, 47 through, I think, 51, Mark 14, 43 through 47, Luke 22, 47 through 51, and John 18, 2 through 11. The blended text reads as this: "Immediately while he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up and accompanied by a crowd, and came there with lanterns and torches and weapons, who were from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now he who was betraying him had given them a signal, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away under guard.' So Jesus, knowing all things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, 'Who do you seek?' They answered him, 'Jesus the Nazarene.' And he said to them, 'I am he.' And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. So when he said to them, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground." I just want you to imagine this, because I think the text expresses this here. We're looking, you know, so they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there's up to at least several hundred soldiers that are with them. Not just, you know, 10 or 20. I always think of it when we do our, when we do skits and things of that nature, and, you know, you might have like two soldiers that fall back. I think that's where we get the idea that it was just, we're talking possibly hundreds of soldiers that fall back to the ground. "Therefore, he asked again, 'Whom do you seek?' And they said, 'Jesus the Nazarene.' Jesus answered, 'I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these go their way to fulfill the word which he spoke. Of those whom you had given me, I had lost none.' After coming to them, Jesus said to Judas, 'Friend, do what you have come for.' And Judas immediately went to him, saying, 'Rabbi,' and kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. And when those who were all around him saw him and saw what was going to happen, they said, 'Lord, shall we strike with the sword?'" Now, if you remember back in some text, I believe it was the Mark passage, that when they left the upper room, they said that it just makes the comment, there was a sword there by the door. Is this the one that was picked up? I don't know. I'm not sure. But they make comment of that. And then so they ask, as they look around, the disciples, what shall, you know, they saw what was going to happen. "Lord, shall we strike with a sword?" And Peter struck the slave of a high priest whose name was Malchus and cut off his right ear. Again, here, this is speculation. Some commentators say that Peter was so good and able to swing the sword that he was able to swing and cut off his right ear and not hit his shoulder or anything. Others say it was just a flail of a swing, and as Malchus ducked out of the way, caught his ear, and he was trying to do more harm to him. We don't know. All we know is the dude's ear winds up on the ground. Okay? But Jesus answered and said, "Stop, no more of this. Put your sword back in its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword." And he touched his ear and healed him. This is perhaps one of the most interesting miracles that Jesus ever did, at least in my book. And we'll show some of those things here this morning. This is one of those miracles. No one in the group here, including the one having the miracle done to him, ever expressed any faith in God or Jesus Christ. So what's that say about our fake healers today that say, "Oh, well, this guy couldn't be healed because he didn't have enough faith"? This guy expressed no faith at all. And Jesus healed him. In the case of this miracle of the restoration of the body, we actually see or learn when the malady starts. So we've had lame man that had been lame from birth, right? We've had maybe blind man or even a lame that was for 38 years. And it all had been in events that had taken place earlier. This is the first one, the only one I could come up with, that we got to see the beginning of the malady start. The guy walks in with both ears on his head. Next thing you know, one's laying on the ground. And so here it is. And so we get to see the beginning of that. Whether it was the little girl that died, Jesus wasn't there when she started to get sick. The woman that had the issue of blood, well, these are different miracles, been going on for 12 years. All of these started. This is the only one that I can tell of dealing with the humans here that we see the beginning of the injury start. We're all aware of what and when this is taking place, and if you're not, we're in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night of Jesus being turned over to the authorities in the betrayal by Judas. And we just want to look at three things here. Two of them pointing out things going on at the time, and then the last thing is obviously a little more focus on the miracle itself at hand. But the first thing we see here is the idea of waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. And impetuous Peter here, once again, did not wait for a response. Remember they ask, shall we do this? Shall we do? Peter's already hacking away, taking guys' ears off before the Lord even gives an answer. Our Lord had asked Judas a question, and while this is all going on, Peter, once again, in his boldness, chops this dude's ear off instead of seeing how it was played out. We're reminded in Psalms 27:14, which we'll have a sermon on this in a few weeks, on this passage, but wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And so now you got to remember what had just taken place here with Peter. We all know the reminder of what happened with Judas at the Last Supper, but also the conversation that Jesus had with Peter at the Last Supper. He just said, even if all the rest of them fail you, I'll be there. And Jesus had told him, yeah, but you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. Peter right away here is proven, I'm not going to do that. And so he's going to jump in, and he's going to be, as we see so many times, a little excited, a little overzealous on things. But I think as Derek likes to say when he speaks on Peter, I think we've all been that way occasionally. We've all been guilty of acting rashly or quickly or maybe even thoughtlessly as we do things. For example, just think how many times, and maybe you're much better at this than I am, but many times that we've said something that later you regretted. Oh, how I wish you could have retracted those words, but it was too late. Can't help but think, as Peter sees the ear laying on the ground, or, you know, who knows, maybe it, you know, like stuck to his blade and he had to flip it off, you know. I don't know. But as it was there on the ground and they go to pick it up, haven't we all been guilty of acting spontaneously on an issue before we've really had time to think things through? Have you ever gotten angry and popped off at somebody about something going on and vocalized your dissent before the other person was even finished talking? And then by the time you finish hear them talking, you realize they didn't say what you thought they were going to say? And then you feel bad for having gone off the way you did. Did you have to apologize for making a rash statement, all the while wishing, I wish I would have just kept my mouth shut a few minutes longer? Peter would have just kept that sword in his sheath, just wait on the Lord. He'll always give us the opportunity, but it doesn't always come when we think it should. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. And so as we look at this, it's a reminder to us to wait on the Lord. Hot-headed moments rarely produce good fruit. In fact, when we act rashly, we usually end up loathing the stupidity of our words and actions. So the truth is, we all need a good dose of patience, do we not? A fruit that is produced inside us by the Holy Spirit of God. We desperately need patience in our lives, and that's why we are reminded to wait on the Lord. I will say this for sure. The first two points here were definitely easy for me to write this week because all I had to do is refer to myself. The next point is, do we diffuse or escalate intense moments? Right? Gabby helped me come up with that phrasing there. And because I was, we were at the end of class one day and I was like, I'm looking for this phrase that I want. And she says, well, how about de-escalate? And I'm like, I'm already using the word escalate, so I want to use something else. So she gave the diffuse. So I appreciate that, Gabby. There you go. But anyway, so do we diffuse or escalate intense moments? Right? So what I mean by that reminds me of a story that George has told us before about, he always says, teases about the people in his family. The first thing they like to do in any situation is panic. Right? And so, you know, we've always teased. So you know, what would happen if the Schaefers came to a railroad track that had a train stopped at it with a thunderstorm and tornado going over and a car full of clowns behind them shows up? There is going to be all sorts of panic there with that family, right? And so do we do our best to escalate the situation, or do we do our best to diffuse the situation? And we look here and we see in this lesson here, what would you say most people are trying to do here? Escalate the situation or diffuse the situation? Right? We got some guys just doing their job. Look at Malchus, for example. He's a slave. He, you know, if he doesn't come in here and do his job, worse things could happen than his ear getting chopped off. So because Malchus was present at the time of Jesus' arrest, we may conclude that he was sent there as a personal representative of the high priest to officially oversee the activities connected with Jesus' arrest. Few scholars believe that Peter actually singled him out, and this was not a by-chance situation. And so this intrigued me as I was reading this, that so as Peter saw him walking in, seeing and knowing what role he played, knowing that he was a representative of the high priest wasn't going to hire or wasn't going to show up on the scene and be there. He was going to have his goons go and share in the arresting and different things of this. And that's exactly what Malchus was doing. They believe that Malchus may have become, from the time of Peter seeing him, became his intended target. If somebody's going down, it's the slave of the high priest. And this is because Peter had a deep resentment and long-time held grudge toward the high priest and perhaps all of his entourage, all of whom had been continually critical of Jesus' ministry. This man was a part of a group that had been menacing and antagonistic towards Jesus, and Peter says, if anybody's going to go down, he's going down with me. But this proverb reminds us, and I found this this week, and it was just interesting to me. Proverbs 30, verse 33 says, "For the churning of milk produces butter, and pressing the nose brings forth blood." Some translations will say the wrangling of the nose or the twisting of the nose. And so immediately, the deep intellectual mind that I have, I thought of the Three Stooges, right? I mean, do you not? Right? And so somebody reaches in, grabs a hold of their nose, and it's like, nyuk, 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 you know, and you can just see this go. Well, anyway, the pressing of the nose brings forth blood, and so the churning of anger produces strife. What do all three of these things have in common? If I was able to nail it down in one word that I think I could make fit all three of these statements, it's the word agitation, right? Agitation, even in the churning of butter, right? We've all seen the butter churn, and you've got to agitate the cream, you know, to make that happen. You want to get punched in the nose? Go agitate somebody. You want to do the same thing with the churning of anger produces strife? It's going to be because you're agitated with someone. And so this is a lesson to us. How should we respond? Remember what our two choices were at the beginning for our point? Defuse or escalate. Defuse or escalate. Right? A few years ago at youth camp, there we got word, I think it was Doug and Derek come around the corner, and they're telling me, yeah, there's a fight going on or something down there in the gym. Well, so we get down there, and sure enough, there were a couple boys going at it that punched, well, the one kid's got a bloody nose. This is funny, because not that they had a bloody nose, but his answer. So George and I are down there talking to the kid, and the one kid that's standing there, I mean, he's all teary-eyed, blood running down his nose. And I'll just say this, fights at camp aren't normally typical, I mean, at least among the students, maybe the staff, but no. So these kids had fought, and there was blood running down his, tears coming down his eyes, and he's over there sobbing, and the other kid's standing there next to him. And the kid that's all bloodied up and everything, he goes, "I think I won." And then George responded properly and says, "Nobody wins in a fight." But afterwards, we were like, "Definitely the other kid won." No, anyway, But so you see the him being beat up. So how would you respond? What do you respond? Back to that story there. So what the deal? Are you a diffuser or an escalator? Do you escalate things? So we found out, because right away I had this one young man come up to me and says, I wasn't doing it. I didn't have anything to do with it. And come to find out, he was the cheerleader. And so when these two started mouthing back and forth at each other, what does he shout out? Fight, fight, fight. And so what then do those two boys decide to do? They make it from verbal to physical. And so the kid that was defending, I didn't even do anything. He goes, all I said was, you know, fight, fight. And I was like, so you're not a diffuser, you're an escalator. You want to escalate things. Are we that way? Do we see that? Well, I'm taking a stand, we may say. Jesus could take a stand and not escalate the situation. And we need to as well. Jesus could have said, chop them all, Peter. Let it fly. Right? And what do you think Peter would have done? I mean, if mad ninja skills weren't involved or invented yet by that time, they would have been that day. Peter would have been flying around, chopping, cutting, dicing, all sorts of things. So how would you respond? How do we respond? Do we raise the tension or do we help to calm things down? Peter at this point was still ready to ramp up the emotions. I could just see Peter, you know, he's already cut the guy's ear off and he's bouncing back. And Jesus is just like, Peter, calm down. Those who live by the sword are going to die by the sword. Is there anything with letting your emotions get ramped up? No. And I think in the church, we might do a little bit better if we'd let our emotions get ramped up every now and then. There ought to be some things that we do get upset about. There ought to be some things that we do get excited about. There ought to be some times that maybe somebody needs to say, hold them back. But you know what? There ought to be times that we want to do things that the Lord says, let them go. Let them go. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting our emotions ramped up as long as they're in control. However, letting our emotions control us can be a big problem. So let us do our best to diffuse rather than to set off a great explosion. Thirdly, then, is looking at it from Jesus' point of view. Expressing compassion even during times of contempt. Expressing compassion even during times of contempt. I must point out that the healing of Malchus's ears, as I said, was his last miracle that Jesus performed during his earthly ministry. What a statement this makes about Jesus. He's just been, talk about somebody who could be emotionally charged at this time. He's been over praying, growing in disgust or disappointment with his disciples for having fallen asleep while he's praying. Then Peter, doing what he has done, I think this says a great deal about our Lord. Just before he's getting ready to go to the cross, just before he is getting ready to be beat beyond recognition, worse than any man has ever been beaten before, with everything that was going to go on to him, Jesus reaches out to help a publicly declared and avowed foe of his. This wasn't Peter's ear that got cut off. This wasn't one of his best disciples. This is someone that is a sworn enemy of Jesus. Jesus did not respond, "Finally, one of you guys finally got what you deserved." He didn't say that. He reached out to the man in his need, touched him, and supernaturally healed him. Keep in mind, this is something I learned this week that I didn't know as I was studying for this. The high priest, Annas and Caiaphas, were Sadducees. I didn't realize that the high priest, just about in every case, from the time the Pharisees and Sadducees became a group, the high priest was always a Sadducee. What do we know about the Sadducees? They did not believe in the resurrection. And so for this guy to come into town just a week earlier, remember when Caiaphas said, "It is expedient for one man to die for the needs of the people?" Because he believed that once he was dead, his problems would be over. But as Josh shared with us this morning at the communion meditation, that when Jesus died and was resurrected, that's when hope began. And real problems for those that were Sadducees took shape. Sadducees didn't believe in miracles. What have we been doing? Sadducees didn't believe in angels, right? And so we have a few of those possibly showing up here at the tomb of Jesus. And yet, a hired thug or a slave, Malchus, his boss vehemently opposed Jesus and this whole supernatural ministry. And yet it was the high priest's own servant who received a compassionate, kind, bearing touch of the supernatural hand of the incarnate God Almighty, where Jesus was able to demonstrate his love and genuine care to those that even were spiritually charged up against him. All those that opposed him during his life and those that were there ready to grab him and to take him in to his place and appointed time of crucifixion. So we've got three examples to follow here this morning. Do we want to be like Malchus and just go with the flow of the world? My boss told me I got to do this, right? Do we do it, Peter, and run out with maybe good intentions, but yet still many times causing harm? Or do we approach it as our Savior did, calmly, in the most trying time of his life, getting ready to head that direction to the crucifixion? I think we should pray for grace to be like Jesus. Decide today to let the Holy Spirit empower you to reach out, not to just your friends, you should do that too, but reach out to those that have offended you. You want to let the power of God be seen in action? Is express that towards someone who's an enemy or someone who has offended you. or someone that has picked on you, someone that opposes you and your spiritual views. Take a stand, as Jesus did, to show them the love, the compassion, the kindness. Let us show the world what Jesus would do and how Jesus would love them. And in the time of chaos, even as he gets after Peter, he just says, calm down. As he goes up to Malchus, we don't even know that anything was said. He just reaches out and he does something. Church, it's time that we do something. Do something for those in the church and do something for those outside of the church. Let us be Jesus to the world. There's a plan of salvation that's given that we all need to obey. And if you're here this morning, you've done that, then share this message with someone else. But if you haven't, we pray that you would do so before it's eternally too late. Believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the one that died on the cross for your sins. Repent of your sin, the sin that put him on that cross. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then live faithfully, doing your best to be emotional. There's nothing wrong with emotions as long as they're properly guided and properly responded to. Be emotional. Get excited. Get disappointed. Get frustrated. Get happy. Whatever it may take for that moment to be what Jesus wants for you to be. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?